For our message this morning, I'd like to remind us of a verse we find in Proverbs 27, verse 4. To start there, it says, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" The last part is what I want to think about. It's a simple message. I think even the children will easily be able to understand what I have to share. Who is able to stand before envy? Envy is a desire to have a quality or possession or other desirable attribute belonging to someone else. And we'll be using the word jealousy, and they're somewhat interchangeable. Jealousy has this, one of the meanings of jealousy is similar. So envy, or I should say it this way, all of us have a peer group, a group of friends that we relate to. And envy is when we look at something that our friend has, and it's that little stab of bitterness that says, "I want what they have." So maybe for you young boys in school, you look at your friend's ball or his bat and his glove, and it's new and it's nice, and you think to yourself, "I want that." And it's that stab of bitterness that wishes that you would have it instead of them, instead of being glad that they have that. Or maybe for you young men, it's the vehicle that your friend buys, is able to buy, and that you're not. And I'm sure for us older ones, maybe it's a piece of farm equipment or a piece of equipment that you use on the job that you wish you could have that your friend has instead of you. So it's that little stab of bitterness. And I say little, but it can grow. And as we will see this morning, it can have dire consequences. Proverbs says, "Who is able to stand before envy?" So you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 13. I've been thinking about the life of King Saul for the past couple weeks. I've been thinking about his failures and how much of his life centered around envying David. And in essence, it was one of the sins that ruined his life. And I want to take a few lessons for us today. I think most of us are familiar with the story of King Saul. And he was just a man like you and I this morning, I believe. Probably a person we would call a homebody, faithful at working on the home farm. And when the donkeys were lost, his father trusted him to go out and search. It doesn't seem like his father worried that he would get sidetracked and fall into devious ways. He trusted him, and Saul was faithful. His character was honorable. However, after he was made king, several incidences happened that seemed to be a turning point of his life. And I know that there's a lot of other aspects that I believe were involved in why he made the decisions that he did. But this morning we're focusing on envy. I'd like to read a few verses from 1 Samuel 13, verses 2 to 4, and then 7 to 14. Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. Verse 7, and some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. I'll stop reading there. Now, maybe I'm misreading verses 3 and 4, but it looks to me like Saul was envious of the honor that Jonathan would receive for having the courage to go and attack the Philistines. And so the official word was supposed to be that Saul had defeated the garrison of the Philistines. And that's according to the Amplified Bible, it uses the word defeated. Well, all the soldiers were caught up because the rest of the Philistines were rallying around their defeated cohorts. It appears to me like this is where Saul first allowed envy to control his life, and also the first failure that we have recorded where he entered into the priest's office. Well, the first lesson I want to learn is, and this is especially if you're in a leadership position, if I feel like I have to take credit for someone else's good work to retain power or credibility, my priorities are wrong, and envy has a grip on my life. In reading the story of King Saul, it seemed like Saul would have been more successful if he would have assigned the management of the battles they fought to Jonathan, his son. Jonathan did well on the battlefield, whereas Saul maybe not so well. But he felt like the power of the kingdom would be taken from him if he did not get the credit. And so this confusion followed. The soldiers were called, but there was no plan to attack and conquer their enemy. And this whole thing ended in such a negative light, where Samuel was told Saul that God would give the kingship to another because of his disobedience. So the challenge that I'm faced or given, take from this, when we're faced with the temptation to be envious, respond with humility. How much better if Saul would have at least sent out some men to seek for Samuel, to see where he was on the journey, to see why he didn't come, so that Samuel could give direction instead of disobeying the Lord and entering into the priest's office. True leaders honor those that help them, They give credit to them, and they willingly allow others to exercise their talents. Okay, moving on. It's a little hard to follow all of these events chronologically, but it seems to me like Saul did have times of victory, times where he led the people like he should have with strength. We read of that in the end of chapter 14. It says that Saul took the kingdom over Israel and he fought his enemies on every side and so on. But in chapter 15, we have recorded another failure. I'll read a couple verses from chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not." So in the couple verses following, Saul did that. He went and had a war with the Amalekites, but he did not fully destroy them. Verse 10, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." So then Samuel and Saul have this conversation about his failure. Verse 23, the last part, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Verse 28, "And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor. Hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." So here again, for the second time, Samuel told Saul that God would take the kingdom from him and give it to another because of his disobedience. And then we have David anointed king in chapter 16. Chapter 17, David kills Goliath. And in chapter 18, David is conscripted into Saul's service. It seems to me that in chapter 18, it became apparent to Saul that David was that neighbor of his that was going to take the kingdom. It seemed like it was apparent to Jonathan also. I'd like to read verses 1 through 16 of chapter 18. "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women played one another, and the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. This chapter goes on to say how Saul sent David on what we could call suicide missions, in hopes that he would be killed by the enemy. But the Lord was with him, and he was always victorious. Well, what more can we learn? We can learn that jealousy and envy will make your world small and miserable. Let me try to explain. If Saul would have viewed David as a fellow worker, as a faithful servant, as one that was doing good for his kingdom instead of a rival, he would have seen any victory over their enemy as a victory for the nation of Israel. And the sooner they could shake off their enemies, they could be a more prosperous nation, enjoying the blessings God had promised them. We know that a nation at peace is generally more prosperous than one that is putting a lot of resources in warfare. Instead of all that, he spent days conniving a way to kill him. Days trying to find him. And he always had it backfire on him, because God was with David. So when the thoughts of envy come to trouble us, step back and consider the big picture. God gives us all talents to use in his kingdom. You have a talent that you can use in God's work. I do, and we are all to work together for the good of the kingdom. Think about that God has a plan for your brother and sister. God has a plan for you. When someone else has a success, see it as a blessing and be happy for them. Don't see it as a way of highlighting your perceived loss. It was not part of God's plan for you right now. Whatever it is, and enjoy where God has placed you, not conniving a way to get what you want, or conniving a way to get what was not to be yours. I think this is my third point. Envy and jealousy also highlight that we are insecure and we're not finding our hope in God. As we saw, because of the decision Saul made and his insincerity, God had left him. So it was no wonder that he was troubled and felt like David's advancements were an attack on him. Proverbs 14, verse 30, again in the Amplified Bible, says, "A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. But envy, jealousy, and wrath are like rottenness of the bones." Finding our hope in God. You know, it's often during times of trial that we look at others and we think how much better off they are than we are. But will looking at others and comparing ourselves with them bring peace? Not at all. But rather, looking to God in faith will bring us peace. Finding our security in Christ will help quell thoughts of envy. The verse in Proverbs 14:30 that we just read indicates rottenness, and we know that this is something that grows. You can find a small spot in an apple. You can cut it out, and it'll be fine. But if you let it alone, it will soon ruin the whole apple, and then the whole bushel of apples, or whatever it's stored in. And so it will be with us if we don't recognize envy in our lives and deal with it, repent of it. Just like Saul, his envy grew from anger. He was very angry that of the way the women were praising David and compared to him. And that seemed to turn to bitterness. He tried to kill him when David was playing for him. And then it was just pure hatred in the way he sought after David to kill him, and David had to be on the run. It grew from anger to bitterness to hatred. And it was all for his envy for his faithful servant. Fourthly, I'd like to bring out that envy causes blindness. And these are very closely related. But envy causes blindness. This is just kind of a side thought, but in my studies I read Mark 15 verse 10, and it says that the religious leaders delivered up Jesus to be crucified because of envy. And I wonder if they wouldn't have been envious of the attention that Jesus was getting, the command he had over the people, if they would have been able to see the truth. And envy prevents us from seeing the truth. Where we read from in 1 Samuel 15 verses 28 and 29, Saul was plainly told that the kingdom was no longer his. And Samuel impressed it on his mind that God was not going to change his mind about this. So Saul should have followed Jonathan's example in passing on the torch of leadership to David. Think of all the bloodshed that resulted from Saul's quest to destroy David. Saul was blind to it, even though he knew that there was no chance that this kingdom, that he would retain his kingship. He even went so far as to killing the innocent priest Ahimelech and all his family for helping David. That's in 1 Samuel 22. He was blind to the farther judgment he was bringing onto himself. Envy causes blindness. I know that we would not go so far as Saul, but there are tactics that we're tempted to use when envy is controlling us. Tactics that are directly against how God teaches us to relate to each other. When we're envious of someone, we're usually tempted to belittle them or make fun of them. Often we try to find fault with them. We may try to cut them out of what is rightfully theirs in spite to make them feel some pain. We may even spread false rumors about them to assassinate their character. And all of these things go against multiple scriptures. 1 John 4:11 tells us to love one another. And the golden rule in Matthew chapter 7 verse 12 says, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." Fifthly, don't let envy blind you like Saul did, but right along with this, envy clouds our judgment. And these two go hand in hand, but think about Jonathan. He was Saul's son. He was his grown son. He was the man of war. He led 1,000 men into battle. And in many ways, when it says that Samuel conquered his enemies there at the end of 1 Samuel 14, I wonder if it wasn't because of him. But my point is that he should have been able to speak wisdom into Saul's life. And Jonathan told Saul, David is innocent. He's faithful. But Saul's judgment was clouded. He couldn't see the truth, and he acted rashly. He used poor judgment on multiple occasions. So if envy is clouding our judgment, we will make poor decisions because we'll be chasing a goal that will never be fulfilled, that will never be satisfied. Maybe we borrow money for something that we cannot afford because we want something that another has. Or maybe we give up a spiritual blessing to strive for a material thing that if we would stand back and look at the big picture, it only would hinder our spiritual life. I'm reading a lot out of the Amplified Bible, but here is Ecclesiastes 4:4, again out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "Then I saw that all painful effort in labor and all skill in work comes from man's rivalry with his neighbor. This is also vanity, a vain striving after the wind and feeding on it." So this verse calls it rivalry. And it's basically saying if you're laboring for this reason, it will come to nothing. It will be wasted. Well, envy and jealousy are sins that I think we all struggle with from time to time. As we see in Saul's life, if it's left unchecked, unrepented of, it has the potential to destroy us, and it will certainly separate us from God. Titus 3:3 says that it should be a part of our past life, and now that we're living unto righteousness. Galatians 5 warns that it's a work of the flesh. I'd like to read Proverbs 23, verse 17. It says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." I see in this verse one way to overcome envy is to have a proper fear of God. And we already talked some about this, finding our security in Him, trusting in God for His plan in our life. But if we feel envy stirring in our hearts because sin is in our lives, because we've disobeyed our Heavenly Father, like Saul when he entered into the priest's office, or he failed to destroy the Amalekites, then that disobedience, that's the core sin, and we need to repent. When there is disobedience in our lives, we must answer the question, does God really mean what He says? And we know that He does. So to have a proper fear of God, where we obey Him, where we respect Him, that will do away with the temptation to envy. Along with this, there is that law of sowing and reaping. So when we face loss or go through difficult times because of our sin or bad choices, we need to eat our humble pie and not respond in envy, because someone else has it easier than us. And I think about that in Saul's life. in the way he responded compared to the way Jonathan responded. God had plainly told him that the kingdom was not yours. I feel like that does not mean that he could not personally repent of his sin and walk with God from here on, but he didn't. But the challenge that I receive is that I need to, if envy is a part of my life. When we have a proper fear of God, we can serve Him, and we're serving Him, then we can rest in Him that He is bringing the things into our lives that we need for our growth. This verse also specifically tells us not to envy sinners, and the psalmist had this problem. I'd like to read Psalm 73, verses 1 through 3. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then the verses go on to talk about how he viewed the wicked as prosperous and his own woes that he was struggling with. But verses 17 and 18 give us the answer. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. I'll stop reading there. But so when we're tempted to be envious, what I get from these verses is take a look at the big picture in light of eternity, and it will help us see truth. Well, I want to bring this to a close. Many times when the kings of Israel turned away from God, you know, they turned to worshiping idols, or maybe they made leagues with the wicked nations around them. Tremendous sin in their idol worship. But we don't read anything like that of Saul that I know of. Saul had done good for Israel. He had conquered the Philistines, sometimes he did. He had put away all of those that used occultic practices. And maybe it's because of this that his failures seem more common to what I think we face today, that his life resonates with me and challenges me. But we see that envy did separate him from God. I'd like to close with a very sad account or verses here in 1 Samuel 28, verses 15 through 16. We know that the scripture tells us that Saul had destroyed all of those that used occultic practices. But in the end, that's where he went. First Samuel 28, verses 15 and 16. And Samuel said to Saul, this was after this wicked woman called him up from the dead, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets, nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee, and has become thine enemy? What a sad end. I'm not here to say this morning that envy was Saul's only failure, but it was one of those that effectively ruined his life and separated him from God. And here it says the Lord had become his enemy. So let's take the lessons that are here for us today. Who is able to stand before envy?